Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. We kick things off at St Mary's. Southampton taking on Liverpool. Liverpool, of course, needing a win, really, to still keep their hopes alive of catching Manchester City at the top of the table. Nine changes to the side that won the FA Cup at the weekend is what Jurgen Klopp made. And in the end, they got the job done. They had to come from behind. Nathan Redmond scoring in the 13th minute, although many thought that goal should have been chalked off because of a foul in the build-up. Minamino then replied, and then Matip would score the winner in the second half to give Liverpool all 3 points, meaning that it will once again go down to the final day of the season. It's all in Manchester City's hands. If they beat Aston Villa, there's nothing Liverpool can do. However, if Pep Guardiola's side drops points against Villa at the Etihad and Liverpool beat Wolves, then it will be Liverpool who will be champions. Let's welcome in Shelby. French contingent today. Julien Laurent is with us, as is Frank Leboeuf. Far from their best performance, Liverpool, Craig, but job done considering the changes. No, can ask for much more.
And Jurgen Klopp, not for the first time in his tenure in England, was not happy with the scheduling of the fixture on Tuesday. And I can see why, but now that the job's done, it gives him extra time for the fixture on Sunday. Look, Liverpool, one of Liverpool's Achilles heels was the squad depth. They've fixed that problem very well. I mean, almost a player for every position. Not quite, but almost. And when you look at that front line, it's still more than decent. You look at the midfield, a couple of youngsters with a guy hugely experienced, and then two excellent centre-backs. Tsimikas has been terrific, replacing Robertson. And Joe Gomez is a very adaptable player, it can play across the back four. It was just about getting the job done, and I think early on the frustration would have been the decision that didn't go their way.
Right.
Now, over a course of a season, you know, it's not because let's keep the title race going, they should have got that decision. It was a free kick, and Martin Atkinson missed it, but what the hell are they doing at Stockley Park? Right. PGMOL, what are they doing? Mike Riley and his crew. If they can't see this is amateur hour. This could have been a title decider, and you don't know that's a free kick on a replay at Stockley Park. You should be doing your job. But that's indicative of the type of decisions we've seen, certainly in the Premier League and other leagues this year. However, this team have got stomach. They've got guts. Yeah. And to pull this out, to take it to the final day, I think it's brilliant with the team that they put out. It was more than good enough to win the game because Southampton have been poor recently. But a brilliant result keeps it honest.
Both teams in this title race, Frank, have shown what they're all about, really, haven't they? City 2-0 down against West Ham, come back to get the draw. Liverpool going behind today after just winning the FA Cup, come from behind to get the victory.
Yes, they both showed character to the world, and should have deserved to be in the last straight line, as we say, and fight for the title. They've been good. They've been consistent. Even the B team of Liverpool did the job, and I love the commitment of any players, especially Minamino, who barely played in the Premier League. Every time he plays in the FA Cup or League Cup, he scored goals. Today again, he played in the Premier League, scored goals. I mean, I'm very impressed with all the commitment of all the players. And for City, it's the same. They know what they're worth and what they have to do to make sure they're going to be successful, and to do the job. They never let anybody down. They work hard to make sure they're going to played until the last second to make sure that they're going to get something out of it. And for Liverpool, I think Jurgen Klopp knows that he won't get the Premier League title. That it would be an accident from Manchester City, and there is no big chances to get it. I think he's preparing his final, his Champions League final. resting some players, because we saw against Chelsea that some players were tired after an hour. So it's preparing for me the Champions League final.
Right. Tell me this, Craig. The narrative, the rhetoric, the media are going to spin this, aren't they? Going into Sunday's game, Steven Gerrard.
Oh, no, I was going to.
He's going to go and win it for Liverpool, as he couldn't do when he was a player. Coutinho, of course, still loved by Liverpool fans.
That was, I was going to, that's what.
Does it actually.
I was in my mind that.
Like it will be basically.
I was going to
be extra motivated.
Well, I know, because.
Is that a real thing?
No, it's nonsense. I was going to blow that out of the water. I was actually going to take us to that. So thank you for doing that. You read my mind, which is slightly worrying from your perspective.
It's too long, mate.
But listen,
years. It's been a long time.
I've seen the Etihad, as you know, that game when Aguero scored when I was there. I've seen the tension. I've seen what it can do to teams. I've seen that feeling from a crowd when news is coming through from another ground, what's happening, and it's not going your way. And that was against QPR,
right,
who were a lot poorer than Aston Villa. Look, Aston Villa gave Liverpool. No, to fight that narrative, why then did he not have Aston Villa lie down against Liverpool at Villa Park a few days ago or a week ago, if it's so important for him to Liverpool wins the league? It's not going to happen. You can't make players try a bit harder because of your history with a club.
Right.
It just doesn't work. Yeah, on the inside, Steven Gerrard might be hoping that his former club wins the league. But he wants his team to finish the season well. He's still probably looking at one or two players. He can't go in the dressing room and say, listen, lads, you've only been given 95% for me. Why don't you give me an extra 5? Because this is very important. It just doesn't happen like that. However, he'll set his team up to win. He's got Ollie Watkins who will run in behind when City play a high line. They gave, as I say, Liverpool. They gave Liverpool a real game. It was a physical game. They created chances. They could have dropped points. I hope we're not going to spin the Gerrard narrative every day now between now and end of the week. Because every day I'm on, I'm going to blow it out of the water. It's just nonsense.
It fascinates me, though, because obviously it's coming from people who haven't played the game at the level that you have. And, of course, as Frank has as well, Frank. Is it nonsense?
It is complete nonsense. And it's insulting Steven Gerrard professionalism for me. He's going to do the job. It's like Frank Lampard against Chelsea a couple of weeks ago when they had to play against Chelsea for different situation. But still, Steven Gerrard would say to his player, you do what you have to do, give 100%, you're wearing a shirt, the fans are going to be there, they want you to be proud, they want you to be proud of the shirt you're wearing, you're going to give 100%. And don't worry, if you have to beat Liverpool, and if Liverpool is beaten and Man City is beaten and Liverpool doesn't win the Premier League, I don't care, because today they're not my team.
Jules, you've written articles already spinning this narrative. I've read many of them already.
not yet, but that's not so much my role for the website. So anyway, I let Mark Ogden write all that nonsense. But I agree with the boys. I mean, maybe it can be an extra incentive, you know, for Gerrard to say, you know, look, we can help Liverpool there. If we beat City, then obviously, yeah. But it's not going to change the way he approaches that game at all. He knows that if the West Ham game showed the template in a way, which we know before, it's nothing new, on how to cause problem to this City team, and especially the defence that decimated right now, and it's going to be the same on Saturday. So watch the West Ham game and then see if you can approach it the same way and use some of the things that they used again and that other teams have also used before. But this is Manchester City against Aston Villa. It's not Manchester City against Steven Gerrard hoping that something might happen and help Liverpool winning the title.
Managers don't want to, like players, managers more than players, don't want the season to end badly.
Right.
And the message I think he'll be sending to his players is, look, we can finish this. If we go out here today away from home and get a good result against the champions, then that's a feather in our cap. And what I saw against Liverpool suggests to me that they're going to be competitive. They're quite happy to press. They've got a physical presence. As I mentioned in Watkins, they've got people that are running behind. They've got plenty of energy in the middle of the park. It's just whether they can defend their box against this City attack and their play and how they mix it up. But yeah, that'll be Gerrard's approach. It just so happens that we have a former Liverpool legend taking a team to Manchester City. But I have to say, I'm intrigued now how this City team respond.
Right.
As good as they are, the pressure has been ratcheted up. And trust me, the fans will be letting them know, particularly after 15, 20 minutes, if it's not going their way. That's when we're going to find out again about this team.
What percentage chance do you give Liverpool?
I'm probably 70-30 City at the moment, because I think they'll get a result against Villa. But the longer it goes, the more nervy it's going to get. And there's a chance. There is a chance.
There is a chance indeed. More talk about the title on Extra Time. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel. Jules and Frank back with me. Craig as well, obviously. Do you know Don spent $2,000 on that suit he wore at Wembley?
Did he? Well, it's $1,950 more than he should have spent.
You can check that out on YouTube. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Meanwhile, the big story, of course, away from the Premier League title race is the future of Kylian Mbappe. The front page of AS, the Madrid-based newspaper, says first Paris. That's, of course, the Champions League final. Later, Mbappe. Marca. See, even you could translate that, couldn't you? Front page of Marca says, what does it say, Greg?
Sai.
It says yes. This, of course, a story that has been breaking over the last few hours. Jules,
it's all right now. Has he got handkerchiefs with him? Well, Julian's, have you got tissues, Jules?
Jules, you were the man who broke this story. Just tell us what developed today.
Well, yeah, we were told today that PSG have basically given up on the hope that they can keep Kylian Mbappe for next season. It's still not completely done with Real Madrid. Of course, there's always a miracle that can happen and something that changes his mind and he ends up staying in Paris. But I think at the club, at the Parc des Princes, they know that it's not going to be the case. They have that feeling that he's going to go to Real Madrid. They tried, they really tried. We explained it many times on the show. He could have asked anything and they would have given it to him pretty much. But this time the feeling is very much that he's chosen Real Madrid. We understand the dilemma. I think part of Kylian still felt that there was more to achieve in Paris, that the story was not completely over, but the other part of him was like, I want to go to Real Madrid, this is my dream, I want to fulfill it, I want to also test myself in another league, in a bigger league than Ligue 1, which you can completely understand. And again, it's not done, there's still a few details to be sorted out between his lawyer and the club and Real Madrid, but nothing we were told that would prevent the deal from happening. So at the moment, it looks very much, and that's the belief within PSG as well, that he's chosen Real Madrid.
Well, there is unfinished business in Paris, and that's why he's leaving.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to a club that gets the job done. I mean, this is not a great Real Madrid side, and they've won the league, and they may win the Champions League.
Yeah.
This is a club that gets the job done. So he's going in there, they're going to spend money, and they're going to be competing on all fronts. And so far, PSG have not been able to convince. Yeah, winning La Liga, winning Ligue 1 again. Yeah, they've been to a final with Thomas Tuchel. But he's going to a place where, I repeat, they just get it over the line. And he's going to help that. So I can understand that 100%.
Frank, obviously, over the last few weeks, you haven't made many friends with Real Madrid supporters. How do you feel about this move?
Well, I really think that Kylian's going to join Real Madrid. As Jules said, it's one of his dreams, and they want to play for one of the biggest clubs, if it's not the biggest club in the world, you know, in terms of CWR especially. I think it would have been nice to see him trying to get something out of Paris Saint-Germain in terms of Champions League and say maybe creating history for the club. But you cannot deny, as Craig said, that even an average Real Madrid is won the Liga and is about to maybe win the Champions League. So it says the power of the club. And you cannot also deny that any player has a dream. And if it's his dream, you cannot fight for it and against it. It's what it is. And if he goes there, I want to see the best of him, especially alongside Karim Benzema. It's going to be absolutely fantastic to see them, both of them playing. I have nothing against Real Madrid. And really, I just say that I think the truth that everybody saw, it's not a big Real Madrid this season. It's a fantastic spirit, but it's not a fantastic team.
Too late. Frank. You've gone viral with your hatred.
Interestingly enough, to that point you made, Frank, I mean, Jules, what's the relationship between Mbappe and Benzema, if indeed there is one? How's that dynamic going to work? Because we know Benzema is playing the best football of his life at 34.
It's a very, very strong relationship since they joined together the national team when Benzema, of course, was called back by Deschamps before the Euros. They remember, I think we mentioned it on the day where he was called up again, that when he arrived at Clairefontaine, Kylian was looking like almost if it was Santa Claus that he was seeing. He had those big eyes and he was like, wow, okay, this is Karim Benzema, who could almost be his father, by the way. And since that day, they developed this understanding, this friendship, this relationship that goes really deep now. On they're very similar in many, many respects, certainly in terms of drive and ambitions. And I think the Kylian Mbappé that we see this season, and he said it on Sunday when he was voted player of the season, he said, I've realized this season, and that's partly thanks to Karim Benzema, I've realized that it's not just about scoring. And in a way, he's been trying this season to become a bit more like Benzema, a bit more altruist, a bit more like all-around player, passing, assisting, creating, scoring, of course, which should always be the bottom line and the objective for a striker like him, like it is for Karim. But everything else around as well on the pitch, and that's the influence that Benzema had on Mbappe since they really met with the national team. And I think they're very much looking forward to playing together at Real Madrid. Believe me, they've talked about it a lot, and this is also part of why I think Kylian wanted to go this summer, because next summer 2023, it might be too late. Benzema might still be there, but certainly not at the kind of form that we've seen him now.
See, you learn something every day.
What did you learn?
Well, there's two players in the French squad that actually do get on.
And what about their
something?
They get on
every day. I never thought that was possible, boys. They're always fighting with each other. That's good to hear.
Is this a boost or a distraction for the Champions League final?
No,
does that have any effect?
No.
Frank. No, I mean, it's not negative, for sure. It's a positive. I think a big boost to know one of the best players on the planet currently is going to be coming to your club. It's not confirmed yet, I know. No major distraction. I think just some good news for Real Madrid fans. But there's a lot. I don't think it's going to take any focus off the Champions League final for this Real Madrid side. It's just the kind of news I think we've all been sort of waiting for and we've all sort of known was going to happen.
If you're like Rodrigo, are you a little bit like, ugh, look what I've done over the last few weeks, look what I've achieved, and now obviously Mbappe's
going
to come. Well,
you know, I think, you know, if you finish the season well and you know, saw Rodrigo with his two goals against City, I've seen Asensio play a part this year, Vinicius Junior has been brilliant. I think what you have to do at Real Madrid, for sure, is show that if needed, you can come in and do a job.
Right.
Because we keep talking about it, you know. You look at Barcelona's squad's not good enough. You look at Real Madrid when Benzema was injured, it was a struggle. It was Bale, it was Jovic, it was Isco through the middle. They need a bigger squad. So, no, I wouldn't be too despondent because I think there's a lot of players there that can, you know, you look at Man City, how they go to their well. You look at Liverpool in today's Premier League game. So, no, I wouldn't be too despondent. I don't think Gareth Bale will be too fussed. And then I don't think he's too fussed about anybody coming in at the moment, to be quite honest.
I think so, of course. Bale leaving, it helps out because it frees up some of those wages for Mbappe. Frank, do you agree that likes of Rodrigo, Asensio, this won't be too much of a downer going into the final?
Well, I don't think so. I think they're very focus on what they have to do very soon, and after they're going to think about their future. I think, yeah, if you are Rodrigo, you can wonder, you know, if you will have a little room to play next season. But it's not in their conscience right now, especially because we don't know yet if Kylian Mbappé is going to go there or not. For Vinicius Junior, it's maybe, I don't know, it would be a question mark because Kylian Mbappé plays on the left side. Vinicius Junior showed to the world that he's absolutely fantastic on that side alongside Karim Benzema. So he will have to adjust. Will he be willing to do so? I'm not sure about that. Will we see Vinicius Junior maybe asking for leaving? I'm not sure as well. But there will be some question marks about some players because of Mbappé coming to Real Madrid.
Now let's take a look then at how they could line up. Obviously, Rudiger heavily linked to a move as well to Real Madrid as his contract expires at Chelsea. He'd line up with Alaba in the centre. Vinicius Junior, Benzema, Mbappé, work? What's wrong with you? What are you shouting about, Frank?
No.
What's wrong?
No, because Mbappé is not going to come to a club and play on the right side. And right. I'm absolutely sure that Mbappé is not going to play on the right side.
Jules?
Mbappé won the World Cup on the right side. Why would he not play on the right side of Real Madrid?
Well, we know Benzema's not going to play on the right. So, I think we'll see a Kylian Mbappé, particularly if it's Carlo Ancelotti still there, and I don't see any reason why this won't continue. I think we see a man that can convince big players.
Yeah,
you know, he knows how to talk to big players. That's part of his success story as a manager. Yeah, coaching and all the other stuff, but his ability to deal with the biggest of players and get the best out of them and explain to them why things are happening and how he wants it to work. And I think we'll see that. It's a perfect scenario for Mbappé going in to play under a player, under a manager like that.
Yeah.
Somebody who's not going to kill you, somebody who is going to put an arm around you. And he'll probably play anywhere across that front line. Let's be honest, if Benzema has a hamstring problem or something, you put him through the middle, that's going to scare the living daylights out of defenders. So yeah, and the other point about the players, it's not, you know, talking about how it's going to affect the players. This isn't new.
Yeah.
This isn't just popped up, you know. Oh, we're signing Kylian Mbappé. Nobody saw this coming. This
has been
in the making for months and months, if not over a year. So it's no surprise to any of these players that they're at Real Madrid and they always go after the big Galacticos.
Frank, we lost connection with you there. Jules called you a fool because he said that Mbappé won a World Cup playing on the right-hand side. Why wouldn't he do that again at Real Madrid?
Well, because it's different when you come and sign for a club and you can, be decisive and know how to decide, you know. He's going to talk with Ancelotti. Yes, maybe he was maybe on the right side, but I think, and I clearly think that it's not his best position. So he's going to sign for crazy money as a big star, like somebody's awaited, and he's going to decide he's going to play on the left side because we all know that's his best position. He made some effort with the national team. He did as well with Paris Saint-Germain. And I think he's going to impose himself as on the left side with Real Madrid.
So then what happens with Vinicius Junior, Frank?
Well, as I told you, maybe he will sign to Paris Saint-Germain. I don't know.
But
he can play... He can play on the right side. He will have to play on the right side. He won't be the star. I think the star we choose to play on the left side.
The interesting thing is they're going to have to address that midfield.
Yeah.
And I know they've been brilliant this year, but I know Modric at 36 has been the little magician still, but it just can't continue. It can't continue forever and ever. And I know Camavinga's come in and done a good job. Valverde's come in and done a good job. But they're going to have to address these big players, and they are big players, particularly Kroos and Modric, and the job Casemiro does. He's a magician, sometimes Casemiro, at staying on a field, as well as plugging holes at the back. That's a skill. That's a skill to be able to influence a game in a way that you're almost influencing the referee. I don't know how he does it. But he seems to have some sort of influence over an official that he gets away with some of these tackles. Yeah. And I think it's a real skill set. But all these players are going to have to be replaced in the next year to 18 months. So it's not just about,
can we sign Erling Haaland?
Can we sign Kylian Mbappe? Midfield is important. Go on, Frank.
Yeah, there is one player who showed the strength and the fact that he's capable of being in the middle of the park and being very, very good working for other teams is Camavinga. I mean, every time he came on, you know, it almost changed the game and has been a real plus. So I think Ancelotti knows that the players, the main players are aging, but he really is already preparing some players to move on and keep on being successful. So Camavinga is going to be a real plus and a good tool to the middle in Real Madrid, I think.
Jules, you've been a very brave boy so far. Let's continue, though, to twist the knife and ask you, how on earth are PSG going to go and try and fulfil this big ambition and win the Champions League without Kylian Mbappe?
Well, it's a good question. It's the million-dollar question, really. Let's see how they replace him to start with, and then we can talk about the chemistry and the team and how far they can go and how they built it and who is the manager, by the way. We wrote on the website, for example, Mo Salah, in case his contract did not fall anymore, that he felt like leaving the club because there was no agreement on an extension. You know, I know there's a lot of if in there. His son, there are Ousmane Dembélé, for example, has been, I think, discussed, talked with the club for a while now. But this is not, again, this is not Kylian Mbappe. It was something very special also because he came from Paris and all that story. So good luck replacing him. Again, I don't know who they can attract, who they can sign, who would want to go there and how you go again for the rest of the squad to strengthen it. But it's going to be, I mean, you can't really blame him because it's 5 years. He gave 5 years, five great years. He scored a lot of goals. They won a lot of trophies. Yeah, of course, there was still no Champions League. Craig mentioned the Champions League final that they lost with Tuchel against Bayern. That was really the chance. That was the moment. And Kylian could have scored, could have shined in that game. He didn't. They lost it. But still, 5 years is a long time, even for such a young player. Still, he's only 23 now. And I think there's a way that you can understand why after 5 years, he decides to move on. And then I think the club has to move on and open a new chapter with different players. Let's see who will be the marquee signing. That's the big question. But I think there will be some candidates.
We're not paying these two enough to get proper internet connections.
No, what Jules...
come on, I'll speak to the boss, see if I can get you a rise to get some internet speed.
Nah, that's a conspiracy theory. You don't want to hear us. That's not fair.
Well, that's it. Well, that's not
a connection
true,
problem.
It's not.
You want to cut us off.
That's true. Frank, PSG are in a mess, aren't they now?
Well, I think they've been like that for a while, you know. it's like it's been a real circus. I think they would have to rebuild, as you said, and think about the real the player that he can get and make sure they get better. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe at front, maybe a Lewandowski because he has a 1 year left contract and can be attracted by crazy money and playing alongside Messi and Neymar. And see who they can get in the middle of the park as well, in defense. But they have the players. Again, it's not a problem of the talent of the players that is questioned. It's the hierarchy, the big mess in the office, who decides for who, for who, and for what. And maybe if they put everything in order for once, something's going to work out.
Why not they just go and get Ronaldo then, Jules? Just go full Hollywood.
I mean, that would be incredible. Can you imagine Messi, Neymar and Ronaldo together? I mean, it's not going to happen. I can tell you that right now. Like it was never going to happen last summer. But they've been really good with marquee signings, of course, if you think about Zlatan Ibrahimovic first, and then obviously the same summer, Neymar and Mbappe in 2017. And now it's the next one. Knowing them as well as I do, I'm not sure they're prepared much, so they will have to react and to improvise in many ways. But again, there will be candidates. There will be players out there who want to go there.
If you ever saw those three in the same team, you'd need to get oxygen tanks for the rest of the guys behind them.
Right, no one's tracking back.
because they're going to be working their, working their butts off every game. But it's interesting to see what the way forward is going to be for them. We know Lewandowski's not happy at Bayern. Mm-hmm. We don't know what his next move is. There's been talk of Barcelona. What's their finances, though? But Barcelona are going to have to do something. Yes. They're going to have to react to major signings when the Mbappe one is announced. They're going to have to react to that. Their fans are going to demand it. But have they got the finances to do it? They still need... according to said law, they still need to get wages out to get wages in. They need to get players out to get players in. So could they pull the Lewandowski one off? I don't know. So maybe PSG are in the running
right for
somebody who might give them a couple of years at the end of his career.
Meanwhile, Messi's got one more year left, hasn't he, Jules? And it was reported today that he's off to MLS then. At the end of his contract at PSG, he'll be heading to Inter Miami, where he'll have 35% ownership.
Yeah, that's the news. So I'm all in for him going to Inter Miami. We know how close he is to the owner, for example, and things like that. And that MLS, as he mentioned before, is always going to be an option. I'm far more skeptical about the 35% ownership of that club. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for a franchise, a US sport franchise. And if you just told me, yeah, he's going to go to Inter Miami in 2023, I was like, yeah, of course, that makes a lot of sense. And we discussed it before. If you're going to own a third of that club, of that franchise, this is where they lost me a little bit. So I know that his camp has denied it. I think it'd be very interesting to see. Again, I'm all in for him coming to MLS, going to Inter Miami. Not so sure if Phil Neville can manage Lionel Messi, but hey, maybe not. Who knows? But I'm not too convinced about the 35% ownership.
I mean, if he has an absolutely sparkling year next year, and we know he hasn't this year, right? We know it's been, by his unbelievable standards, it looks like Mother Nature is catching up with him. But if he has a brilliant year next year, both domestically and in Europe, that'll be super exciting. Now, there'll still be people out there who've got nothing better to do, who just get super excited by this. But if it's flat again next year, I think the allure of Messi to MLS is nowhere near the story that it was 2, 3, 4 years ago, when he was almost 50 goals a season, when all you wanted to do was watch this guy beat 6, 7, 8 players and win a game on his own. It's still a huge story, but the allure of Messi for me has certainly diminished since his move to PSG.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, of course, following this story throughout the summer...
That's me upset all those that think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread now.
I don't know.
Well, I'm good. I'm sure
it's shared by quite a lot of people, actually.
You reckon?
Yeah, I don't think it's that much of
an extreme. All right, I'll go the other way.
Meanwhile, we mention it, of course, Barcelona looking to add players or indeed keep players this summer. This is what Joan Laporta had to say about Dembele. We made our new deal proposal and we're waiting for his answer next week. He wanted to stay here at Barca, but he's now tempted by other options he considers better. Jules, one of those other options, it's been reported, is Bayern Munich.
Yeah, Bayern Munich being the latest one. We've known about PSG since January, really. But Bayern now, who are with Serge Gnabry, for example, in a contractual situation that is a little bit complicated, because I think to renew, he wants a lot of money. And I think they are looking somewhere else to see, in case Gnabry wanted to go or they could not keep him under their terms, then obviously they will need to look for another winger. So Kingsley Coman has extended, no problem. Müller has extended. Neuer is next, no problem. They will have to sign a centre back in the summer because Niklas Süle has left the club. But the next one will be the winger. And I think again, we've said it before, Ousmane Dembele on a free, with the season that he's having now, we're showing clearly more maturity, more confidence in his game. He's always been confident, but more confidence in what he does is the right call, the right choice. He makes the right decision, which was not the case before, where he was a bit all over the place. He's a very attractive player for any top clubs in Europe. And especially after the little career that he had with Dortmund in the Bundesliga, where clearly it looked like he adapted very quickly to German football and how good he was in that league. For Bayern, it's a no-brainer. So I don't think Dembele can come if Gnabry extends and stays. I don't think that's the logic. The logic is very much, in case there's a problem with the Gnabry extension, then Dembele on a free in the summer makes a lot of sense.
Does it, though, Frank? Is it a no-brainer, considering what we've seen him in throughout his career? And yes, as Jules rightly says, you know, he's been on good form for the last couple of months. But can you trust him to put in that sort of performance season in, season out?
I was thinking about that, you know, while Jules was speaking and I was looking at the board that you just put, you know. 31 games, 2 goals, 11 assists, I think is what I saw. I think for a player who plays for Barcelona and a player who might go to either Paris Saint-Germain or Bayern Munich, I'm very amazed. Some people are still have faith on his talent, but what about the consistency that we always talk about? And if you see those numbers, it's everything but consistency. And if I'm a chairman, I will have so many question marks about that player. Happy for the players, but concerned about people who make decisions, because I will be one of those. I won't take the risk, because they are, and it's obvious with the numbers that we see, too much risk for, on top of it, an increase of his salary, as he is asking. No, it's for me, it's too much money for the player that he has been for the past years.
He's an un-Bayern-like signing, isn't he, in a sense that, and Nagelsmann, not in a sense of his talent, not talking about that for a minute, but he had discipline problems at Dortmund. He's had discipline problems and injuries at Barcelona. And for that reason, it looks like a bit of a risk, but then maybe it's a needs must.
Yeah.
Players are going out, need to get fresh bodies in. Obviously, they know that he can do it in the Bundesliga, for sure. It's just whether the gamble's worth it in terms of his discipline. As Joe said, I would hope he's matured. Then you're looking at his injuries. It might resurrect his career, but it just feels that it's not the normal road that Bayern go down, but it is a road that maybe they're going to have to go down.
You feel it's going to be a very busy summer of transfer news, and as always, we'll be keeping you up to date with everything as and when it happens. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Meanwhile, it was not pretty reading, was it, for Mikel Arteta and Arsenal fans? Take a look at some of the back pages after that 2-0 defeat against Newcastle dealt them a major blow in their quest to qualify for Champions League football next season. This is what Granit Xhaka would say after the game. If someone isn't ready for this game, stay at home. It doesn't matter your age. If you're nervous, stay on the bench or stay at home. You need people to come here and play. It's one of the most important games for us. What happened was a disastrous performance. You don't deserve to play in the Champions League or even Europa League. It's very hard to take it at the moment. Craig, you weren't here yesterday, obviously, when we discussed this game. What do you make of...
Listen, it does matter about age. I've played with young players. Good players, really good young players, but they still need an arm around them. They still need direction. You can't rely on young Saka at 20 years old to win every game for you, or Emil Smith-Rowe, or Eddie Nketiah. You can't rely necessarily on these youngsters. So it is about age. It's about, and he's an experienced international player who's played in several countries. You know, he's talking about, by the way, if I was going into Arsenal as a manager, he'd be one of the first ones I'd be looking to get out, because I couldn't trust him. I couldn't trust his discipline. He makes bad decisions. So, yeah, Arsenal were horrendous yesterday. They were not at the races. But to say stay at home, and it's about experienced players guiding a lot of these. I mean, Martin Odegaard's hardly a veteran.
No.
And he's captaining Arsenal. That tells you all you need to know about this Arsenal team. It tells you all you need to know about Granit Xhaka when Martin Odegaard is the captain. a younger player who barely could get a game. He came on loan because he needed football, and he's captaining the club. So it's about experienced players rolling their sleeves up and guiding these younger players through. It's not about the younger players bailing out the older ones, which is what Arsenal have been doing in recent weeks. Their best player is young Saka, and he's a youngster. That tells you all you need to know.
What do you make of these comments, Frank?
I think it makes no sense for me in a way that, as exactly as said Craig, that you're one of the leader, or you should be one of the leader. So you should take or should protect the youngest. It's that's the other face of the coin for Arsenal. That they've been absolutely fantastic according to the to the age of the team, and they are the youngest team in the Premier League. And so, of course, you're going to have a lack of experience. But if you don't have the leaders, you know, backing them up, supporting them, protecting them, it won't work. At the first time that you fail, you have comments like that, it doesn't help. I mean, and I agree with Craig. How come Xhaka is not the captain of that team? He's the most experienced player in that team, in that squad. He should be the captain. So there is also something missing about him. We should avoid him to make a comment like that, because he's not at his best as well, or he's not showing what he has to show if he wants to play for Arsenal.
God, Jules, bad 24 hours for you. Mbappe going to Real Madrid and Arsenal putting in this sort of performance.
yeah, long tears, big tears the last 2 days. The pressure got to them, but it got to them at Spurs a few days before. It got to them at Newcastle. Two terrible performances. You give penalties away, you get sent off, you score own goals. Everything that could have gone against them went against them, really, at the wrong time, at the worst time even, all season. Maybe fourth would have been overachievement anyway, and maybe fifth is more where they belong, certainly in the way they've progressed. Maybe the step up between not playing at all in Europe and going straight back into the Champions League was a little bit too high. I still think this is, as the boys have said, it's such a young team, and Arteta is a very young manager as well. This is all a learning curve too. And for Xhaka comments, I think you can understand the frustration as well. And I think usually when he's frustrated, he says everything that he's got in his head. And maybe sometimes you should turn your tongue 7 times in your mouth before talking? I don't know. But you can understand the frustration, because they were so close. And now, unless a miracle happens on Sunday, it's not going to be Champions League for them.
And that team that they played yesterday is a
seven,
big concern
Greg,
for them.
Seven
times. I'll knock my teeth out again. That team they played yesterday is a big problem for them. Tottenham are a big problem for them. Newcastle are going to spend.
Yeah.
Their form's been great since Eddie Howe. When it was a struggle at the start, and he turned it around, made some good signings, they're going to go again. Tottenham, if the results stand and we think they'll beat Norwich and get in the Champions League, and the coach doesn't throw a wobbly for whatever reason, and that's possible.
Yep.
That is possible in the summer, even if they get in the Champions League. He might throw a few tears out if he doesn't get what he wants and go. But this is a bigger problem for Arsenal, is if they go and spend with Champions League money and keep Conte, if Newcastle spend, if Manchester United under Ten Hag spend, and that's not enough, that's just how much they spend. This is a problem for Arsenal. It's not just the fact they're going to miss out this year, it's the fact all these teams are going to be stronger again, and how does that affect their budget? So that was a huge result yesterday in performance, in a negative way, that could affect Arteta's ability to strengthen this squad for an assault on the Champions League places, for all the reasons that I've just mentioned.
For a lot more on that game and where it went wrong for Arsenal, be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which will drop on Thursday. Meanwhile, Wednesday is the Europa League final. It'll see Eintracht Frankfurt take on Rangers in Seville. Date with destiny, says the front page of the Daily Record, which is the daily Scottish tabloid. You take a look at the bookies they have. Eintracht Frankfurt, the Bundesliga side, are favourites to go on and win the trophy. Rangers slight outsiders at 6-5. Craig, how big a deal is this for Rangers?
Oh, I think it's huge because both Rangers and Celtic, as most people that follow this sport will know, have been extremely dominant in Scottish football forever. Barring the odd time when Sir Alex Ferguson was at Aberdeen and Jim McLean at Dundee United and one or two others. But outside of the Scottish borders, you know, you had Celtic being the first British team to win the European Cup in the 60s. I can't remember too many other European, because my history's not great, but we had Celtic in Seville, ironically, yeah, where this game is, in 2004.
Aberdeen beat Real Madrid, didn't they?
Aberdeen beat Real Madrid in the Cup Winners' Cup, that's yeah, right, under Sir Alex Ferguson. But generally, European football recently has not been kind. And it would be a huge shot in the arm for Scottish football. Celtic fans will say differently, but for Scottish football, if Rangers could pull this off. Because, as I say, European competition has been tricky for them. However, this Eintracht, I've not seen much of both of these teams this year. I saw Rangers a little bit against Dortmund, where they had a great result away in Germany. I saw them against Red Star Belgrade at home, where they hit on the counter-attack. But I was impressed by Eintracht Frankfurt, particularly at the London Stadium in that first game. I didn't see the second leg, but I was impressed with them in London against West Ham. I think they're cool and they're calculated. They've got some real quality players. And there's no doubt this is Rangers' biggest... Even though Dortmund finished above Frankfurt in the league, there's no doubt this is Rangers' biggest test, because I think Eintracht Frankfurt are a really, at this level, a really good team.
Jules, how big a game is this for Eintracht Frankfurt?
Well, it's massive. They were close to that final 3 years ago. Just missed out to Chelsea, if you remember, on penalties at Stamford Bridge. They used to be in finals before. They used to win European trophies. And this is them who almost gave up completely on the Bundesliga pretty much in February. They finished in mid-table because their full focus was on this competition. They're unbeaten. They haven't lost a single game in the Europa League this season. They went away and destroyed Barcelona the way they did. They were very good, I agree with Craig, against West Ham. Their back five, they're so well organised. It's a problem for many teams, and I think it could be a problem for Rangers too. So on paper, for me, they are a better team. Then it's a final, anything is possible, and Rangers have showed this season. I saw them against Lyon, I commentated the game in the group stages. I could have told you, no way in a million years they can go far and reach the final. And yet, this is where they are, and they've already eliminated and beaten two German sides, so why not a third one? It's going to be an incredible final, and the fans, I think, are going to make the big difference as well. I think there's 150,000 fans there. Two-thirds are from Glasgow, and the other third are from Frankfurt. It's crazy.
There's people not getting home, aren't there?
Yes.
I don't mean in a bad way. And there's people going to this game, certainly from Scotland, that may never go back to Scotland again. I'm staying where I am. That's it. I'm not going back.
Sophia will be like, no, please go back.
Why are they deciding to play this game on a Wednesday now? Europa League's always a Thursday, isn't it? Getting above themselves.
That's it, yeah, exactly.
I've been in Seville when Celtic played Porto, working for radio, and honestly, it's immense. If there's the same amount of Rangers fans, and I'm sure there are, as there was Celtic fans, there wasn't an airport in the UK that you could go to and fly out that didn't have the green and white strewn all over it.
Because you looked...
I did check to see if I could find a quiet way to Seville, and I couldn't. I'd imagine it's going to be the same from Frankfurt. We've seen the thousands and thousands that you had in Barcelona.
Yes,
they're favourites for sure. Rangers will play on the counter-attack. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, it should be a great atmosphere. We'll be back on tomorrow's show. I think we'll be looking back at that. Are you with me tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, that'd be nice. There we are.
For that very reason.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, I look forward to that.
Such a liar.
Meanwhile, the German Cup, we can watch it together. That'd be nice. Freiburg against Leipzig in the German Cup final this Saturday, live on ESPN Plus at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sheffield United then out Nottingham Forest through to the final where they will take on Huddersfield Town in a game, of course, that we know the significance of that. A place in the Premier League at stake in that one-off tie at Wembley. That is live on ESPN Plus at 11:30 Eastern. Already, Craig, you've got family members trying to get tickets off you for this.
Yeah, the wife. Well, she doesn't want to go, but she's trying to straight on. As soon as I sat down here, try and get two tickets for my son to go
right
with his grandson. But listen, it was a good response from Sheffield United, having lost 2-1 at Bramall Lane, even with that late goal they got from the set piece. They outplayed Forest today. Nottingham Forest looked like a team that realised what they were playing for. Mm. They were really nervy, didn't pass it particularly well, took the lead against the run of play. It was a touchy first half. The manager, Paul Heckenbottom, got booked. There was a few things going on. But Sheffield United played really, really well. And Forest, I think, will just have to play better with less nerves, if you can, at Wembley. Because it looked to me like the nerves got to some of these players. And in the end, they got away with it just.
Huddersfield, their opponents, Jules. Forest will go into the tie as favourites, I imagine. With so much at stake, we saw the nerves getting them to, didn't we? As Craig said, as this game develops, it's going to be a fascinating tie at Wembley.
It would be great to write, and I think that they would be slightly favourites. Steve Cooper has done an incredible job, really. Almost a miracle, considering how poor they'd been when he arrived, how poor they started the season, to take them all the way. And remember, even before the end of the season, had they won at Bournemouth, they could have been promoted directly to the Premier League as well. So they just narrowly missed out on that. Now they've got another chance in that final at Wembley, where Huddersfield are the other surprise, incredible surprise, even more than Forest, really. When you think of Huddersfield being in that position now, a team that is so good defensively, but with really good, quick transition forward. So it's going to be quite a fascinating game. I think Steve Cooper, now to just finish the miracle, if he takes that team, that squad, with Brice Samba in goal to the Premier League, it will be an incredible achievement, one of the greatest that we've seen from the Championship.
A game, of course, live then on ESPN Plus, May 29th at 11:30 Eastern. We'll have full coverage around that match with a place in the Premier League at stake. Meanwhile, as is custom, MLS released the salaries that the players get amongst the league, and Shaqiri gets $8 million a year.
I'd play for that.
Chicharito at 6, Gonzalo Higuain at 5.8, Pozuelo then at 4.7, Jose Altidore at 4, Joseph Martinez at 4 million as well, and Carlos Vela also in the 4 million mark.
I say squadron leader. It's great work. If you can get it.
It's not bad, is it? Especially if you're Higuain. Take a look then at those salaries in more details. Will be Seven Herc on the next edition of Football Americas, which drops here on ESPN Plus on Thursday. That is it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you, though, for watching. We'll be back tomorrow for more, for reflections on that Europa League final. Stay tuned, though, as Extra Time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your questions.
Back.
Frank is back. We've had some internet connection problems, haven't we, with both of the French guests. But apparently it's sorted now.
French guests.
No. They are French and they're our guests. That's all right, isn't it? I think that's the right. If you can chuck me the questions, that's fine. Because apparently they've been reviewed. Here we go. Thank you very much.
After all these years, that's never a seamless process, this.
Nothing is seamless about this show.
Getting somebody the questions. So no matter who's presenting the show, it never seems to go seamless. Yet it's never brought up at production meetings.
We don't have production meetings.
And that's why it's never brought up.
Here we go. First question, Frank. Will Frank still not favour Real Madrid next year for the Champions League with Mbappe? Of course, Frank went viral with a video someone put together of him saying lots of bad things against Real Madrid on the show over the last couple of months.
Yeah, and I'm going to carry on saying that as long as they don't play the way I want them to see them playing. But the thing is, can you tell me if you know a little bit of football, and I talk a lot with all my friends, what they think about Real Madrid? They don't even understand, you know, how they can reach the Champions League final. But they say the spirit is fantastic. The way they play is not good. But with Mbappe, of course, it's going to be better. Of course, it's going to be better. But as Craig said during the show, they will have to sort some problems out, especially in the middle of the park with some players aging, but also maybe in central defense. So we saw again, the central defender who made a mistake during the weekend.
Militao.
Against Cadiz. Militao, thank you very much. Well, in that level, according to all the fans of Real Madrid, I think it's why maybe I never played for Real Madrid, because I was able to make mistakes like Militao, but you never seen that from Sergio Ramos or even Varane at the time. So I think it's possible with Mbappe that they get better, but they will have to sort some problems out.
Not only does he hate Real Madrid, he doesn't even know the player's name.
I know. Just such disregard that he shows to Real Madrid. It's disgusting from Frank.
I can't win with you.
But you'll be supporting Real Madrid, though, surely, because they've got more of a French contingent.
I'm not a fan. I don't support any team. I watch football and I'm a football lover, but I don't support any team, you know. I'm not like that. I never been like that. I never asked for any autographs. Never in my life. I'm not that type of person.
Wait, didn't you get Rudiger's shirt when you watched the Chelsea game? What was that? The final of the Carabao Cup or the semi-final? Didn't you get his shirt?
Yeah, because it's part of my collection, but it's something special. But it doesn't mean that next year he's going to play for Real Madrid. And if he's bad, I'm going to say that he's bad. That's not a problem. It's not because he gave me a shirt, you know. That's what it is. And that's my job. If I say that everybody's nice, if I say that Real Madrid plays well, you're going to say the guy is a liar. I would be a liar if I would say that Real Madrid plays well.
Did you hear Frank is getting a stadium named after him this weekend?
What?
Indeed.
Go on. Where, Frank?
Well, a little village close to Paris, Saint-Souple. But I have whatever. The mayor loved me and he said, I want to name the stadium after you. I said, whatever. Okay, if you want to.
Jules, it's got a bit of a ring to it, the Fabian Barthez Stadium.
A disappointment, but it's Frank, not Fabian.
I'm sure there is.
How many seater stadium is it, Frank? Is it just a couple of bleachers?
How many what?
How many people can it have?
Four.
Well, my family, and that's it.
Oh, nice. <10. laughs> very good.
I don't know. 1,000, 2,000, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, he knows. He knows.
He's counted them.
So, yes, exactly. You have anything named after you?
A couple of dogs.
Craig, who has a better overall squad, Arsenal or Spurs?
Oh. Squad. Oh, I don't know. Well, what we do know is they have a bona fide coach.
Right.
Spurs. Maybe Arteta will turn into that man. You can agree and disagree about the styles, but he's a bona fide coach. It's a difficult one. We know they've got the two best players, Son and Kane. But I don't know. That's the boys.
It's for you.
I'm probably going to say, with Kulusevski and Bentancur, Spurs.
Spurs?
Yeah.
Jules?
I agree with Craig in the sense that I think it's hard to apart from the two world-class players, of course, that Spurs have, that Arsenal don't have in Kane and Son, who would start for any team in Europe by far, and Arsenal don't have those kind of players. If you take out Kane and Son, which is a bit unfair already, so I guess the answer is Spurs, but if you take them out, I think the rest is pretty level and pretty similar with the pros and the cons, the flaws and the qualities that those two squads would have, again, without Kane and Son. I think it's it. Obviously, Arsenal are younger, much younger, which is a quality and a flaw. And for Spurs, you've got certainly a bit more experience. I think they're pretty similar. But again, Kane and Son, I think, obviously makes Spurs eventually better.
The answer to the question is actually Manchester United.
Oh.
When you look at these two, right, and the problems that they've had, and you look at the United squad, I'm not saying, but it's better than...
On paper, yeah.
Yes.
But that's not the question.
Underachievers, that's the answer.
That's the answer, isn't it? Okay.
Then it makes your head wobble even more to think the position that they are in, right? And,
yes.
And the fact that they...
How do we get this onto anti-Manchester United?
Well, no. I look at Spurs and Arsenal, and particularly Arsenal's start to the season and the squad they've got, an inexperienced manager, youngsters. I look at Spurs, the problems they had, sacked a manager, you know, Conte crying during some of it, all this sort of thing. And I think, how the hell can Man United not be above these two, having spent the amount of money that they have? It just makes it even... It makes it even more incredible how bad they have been. Honestly, I can't... It's not like they've been beaten out by... four magnificent teams at the top. Magnificent four teams have seen Man United. No. And it just makes it even more incredible how underachieving they have been.
Jules, how do you feel about Neymar not inviting you to his party after PSG won the Ligue 1? Neymar's party without Jules is like a body without a soul. Wow.
That's right. I was just not available. I'm sorry. I had other commitments already. If you tell me the last minute, how can I come from London to Paris when I already have stuff, you know? So, unfortunately, they had to do without me. But I'll be there next season, I said, once they win the Champions League without Kylian, which would be amazing. But this time, I mean, come on. Give me a bit more notice next time.
Yeah. You live in that dream, Jules.
That's
was
fair.
Was it filmed at all for a documentary? You know,
I don't know. With Shaka going, this is why.
So, did you see him yesterday sitting at Newcastle?
Yeah, wasn't it brilliant? It's very
really.
Cool. No, it's nice. He got a nice reception.
Did he? I didn't see that. But I just see the camera cut him up a couple of times.
Yeah.
And he sat there looking like butter would melt in his mouth.
I know exactly.
I thought, any chance I'm coming back to do some work or what? Waltzing around getting the freedom of a city.
I know. It's not bad.
Like,
when are you going to get the freedom of Glasgow?
Good dear. When they string me up.
Frank, you've been reverted back to an up-and-coming football player. You have the choice to go to any football academy in the world. Where would you go and why?
Well, that's a tough question. You know, you always go in a club where you feel they will have a chance to play. And it's funny that, but Paris Saint-Germain gives a big chance to play to every young player. The problem is they don't stay because they don't have more time, I would say, in the squad. But I don't know. I wouldn't go to a big club because I think you have to have the chance to play. So I wouldn't go to a big club. But I don't know. I can't name a club right now like that.
That's, of course, is a very sensible answer. And it's something that I went through in my thought process when I was 14, 15. And I think a lot of youngsters make this mistake is, you know, if you think about Scottish football, it's youngsters, they're growing up, it's Celtic and Rangers. I want to be there. But the likelihood is you're going to get less of a chance to make the grade there than you are. It's like a Dundee or an Aberdeen or Dundee United. And the same in England. And certainly for me, growing up, one of the things I looked at, I went to some lower league clubs as well as, you know, Tottenham and Arsenal and Chelsea, and I went to Stoke City and others, because the thinking is, right, and even more so now with the money, and less so back in the 80s and 90s, is that the chances of you coming through and being in that first team, not impossible, but you have to be really, really, really good.
Right.
Whereas at other clubs, you can come through and the process can be slower and you can fall over a few more times, pick yourself up and not get thrown out. Sometimes at these big clubs, the baby gets thrown out with the bathwater, and some players are actually good enough, but they just mature at a later date. And I think a lot of players make that mistake. Youngsters, their parents push them into, oh, go and sign for Liverpool and City and United, and actually going and signing for, you know, maybe like an Everton or a Wolves or whatever country you're playing in, is going to be more beneficial long term. It hasn't got the gravitas
right.
as a 16-year-old. Oh, I've signed for
right.
Manchester United or Liverpool. Look at me. Well, look at you 3 or 4 years later when you can't get a game. So it is a very important decision for youngsters to make, going to the right place where they've got an opportunity, rather than going to the place where they can tell the mates, I've signed for that club.
How old were you when you went to Chelsea?
I was just turned 16, which is the age you had to be for them to bring you from Scotland.
Right.
And Chelsea were not the club.
And then how many around you in that academy actually made it through? Oh, really?
Yes.
It was a strong side.
But we had lads from... nowadays, you have people from pretty much all over the world in the academies, but it was just pretty much the UK and Ireland then. But, for example, the FA Cup final in 94, there was Frank Sinclair, Eddie Newton and myself played in it. Jason Cundy came through, Nathan Blake came through, Welsh international, Graham Stewart came through, went on to play Everton. And there's more.
Right.
A lot of those guys came through because they were at Chelsea back then. They were given the opportunity to play in the first team.
Right.
And then some of them moved on. At Chelsea now, for example, they might not get that opportunity unless you're, you know, have they any, like a Hudson-Odoi or,
right.
or Phil Foden at Man City?
Yeah.
How many of those are there? You know, how many young Sakas are there? There's probably one at each club, and there's 20 youngsters, 20 to 25 youngsters, all fighting to get a place in the first team.
Jules, did you go through an academy?
No, I didn't. My dad refused. I had a couple of offers, small clubs who were playing in Ligue 1 at the time, but nothing, not any of the big French clubs. And my dad was not really keen. He didn't want me to leave the house, the family, because that's the other thing as well. You know, Craig had to leave home at 16. Okay, 16 is a bit older, but some of the boys move at 12. For Frank, it was a bit different again, but 12, leaving your parents and your family, okay, you can come back, but 12 is really young, and my dad was never too keen. But if I can answer the question, I go to Ajax every day, and I think the education that you get there, the teaching and the football that you learn and how they develop your qualities must be pretty special if you're already a really talented youngster.
Very serious answers there.
It's interesting.
But it's an ego thing sometimes with parents, and I've seen it, particularly in Scotland, you know.
Even more now.
Yeah, my son signed for Celtic or Rangers.
Right.
And it's not all the time, but it's to do no more than showcase their kids.
As a status.
As a bit of a status symbol. And, you know, I know back then, the Scottish football actually demolished or done away with the youth system at one point. So you were training, and then you either get in the reserves or the first team. How the hell are you going to do that? They've addressed that now, obviously. How the hell are you going to do that when you're 16?
Yeah.
When all these players in the first team that are not getting a game are playing in the reserves. So yeah, it's a big decision.
Yeah, I had many offers. I turned them down.
I had.
Wanted to focus on presenting. That's what I did.
Nah.
I had a noise,
problem
Frank?
when I was 20. No, I almost say who cares, but whatever. But when I was in Mo and I was in amateur club, I almost signed for Reims, the red and white club, where my father used to play. And when I said to him, because I went for a try there for 3 days and I refused to sign for them because I didn't like what they were offering to me. My father didn't talk to me for like 2 months, and
wow.
I had to stand up for my ideas of what I wanted
to where I wanted to go, how I wanted to go there, but my father wasn't able to understand that. So I signed for Laval a year after, stayed in an amateur club for another year, and for the good. So sometimes you have to, and it's what I say to my lovely book that you should buy and read if you weren't English and not able to speak French and read French, but it's what I explain. You have your life in hands, and sometimes you have to go against even your family and your father to decide for your own life.
A deep, deep ending to today's
Best club I ever went to as a youngster was Arsenal.
Right.
Best club.
Why didn't you say that?
Super organised.
Oh, yeah.
Best club I went to, all the clubs south and north of the border, Arsenal Football Club at the time were unbelievable. And I actually did well there, and I got the chance to sign there as well as Chelsea and others. Pat Rice and Steve Rowley, the scout who's just passed away recently, all these guys. And I don't know why. It came down to a choice between the two.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't know.
No.
I don't know. But that was a super... And it still is. It's a super organised club behind the scenes. It was fantastic.
That's it then. We are done. We will be back tomorrow to reflect on the Europa League final, which of course will see Eintracht Frankfurt take on Rangers.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.